I am very thankful tonight to be part of the Church of God, aren't you?
Yes. Amen.
If you are saved tonight and you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, you are part of the Church of God. Now, if you are not saved, you're really missing out. Yes. The Lord has something better for you, but I'm thankful to be part of the body of Christ tonight. And as the songs were sung tonight, I couldn't help but, as I sat there, there is nowhere I would rather be tonight than with God's people, able to have the freedom and allow the Spirit of the Lord to move among us as He would. I would choose this any day above any of the entertainment that the world has to offer. All of the big events that are being sponsored and advertised out there. Yes. I would rather be right here with you all tonight in the presence of God. So, I was wondering, why did you all come tonight? You don't have to answer me, but why did you come to service tonight? Now, I know I mentioned the other night, some of you younger ones might have come because your parents made you. I'm so glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust that you came because you want a blessing in your soul tonight. I don't always know why the Lord sends the messages that He does. You may sometimes listen to the minister brings a message, you think, well, why are they preaching that? Because the Lord gave it. So my prayer is, and before this meeting started, I was out in my office and I was seeking God, and the Lord told me, He said, my word will not return unto me void. So I've hung my hat on that promise. That the Lord would take His word, and I would that the Spirit of the Lord tonight would just take what He's given us to share with you this evening, and then it would take root and work wherever and however He wants it to be. I want the Lord to work in my life tonight.
Amen.
So that the title of the message, and Ray, if you wouldn't mind writing it on the board for us, it's titled In Denial. In Denial. Have you ever been in denial of something? Someone comes along and asks you something. I'll just start with sharing a little story. When I was a young person, someone asked me a question, and my instinctive response was to say no. And I should have said yes. And I was saved. And I loved the Lord. And I had no purpose or desire or intention to tell a lie. And then, and it was just, it's instinctive within us many times is to protect ourselves, isn't it? Self-preservation. And they asked me a question, I said no. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to be much more careful in the way I answer questions. And if someone asks you a rude question, you don't have to answer them all the time. If it's none of their business, it's better to just not say anything than it is to say something that's not accurate. And after I left that situation, the Lord started talking to my heart because it was like something was just sprung on me. And I said no, and I left. And I was like, I can't leave that. And it was humiliating to me. I was probably 15 or 16 years old and had to go back to someone and said, you know, you asked me that and I'm sorry. It was embarrassing. But do you know it was that helped me keep a sensitive conscience to the Holy Spirit? Because if I would have overridden that, it would have been a little bit easier the next time. The Lord wants us to be open to the Holy Spirit tonight. And the message is to the saved and the unsaved. It's to the married and the unmarried. But the Lord wants us to live in a place of clarity and honesty before God and before man in our lives. But we live in a world that is oftentimes in denial of the true condition that's in their life. I'd like to turn over, if you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel in the 15th chapter. And we'll begin reading with the 13th verse. But as you recall, God had Samuel anoint Saul as the king of Israel. Per Israel's request, we want a king. And so God honored their request and He gave them a king and He chose Saul. And when Saul was humbled before the Lord, God blessed him. And the Lord used him. Now, he was going out to fight against the Amalekites. And this dovetails with the message last night. God had given very specific instruction to Saul that when you go out to battle, I want you to destroy everything.
Yes.
I don't want you to leave any of the enemy alive. Now, I hope that sounds really familiar to all of you that were here last night. We need to destroy the enemy and the enemy stronghold in our life. So again, we find God telling them, kill all of the Amalekites. I don't even want you to keep any of their animals. I want you to get rid of all of it. And so we find that the prophet Samuel, picking up in verse 13, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. That sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? Blessed be thou of the Lord. I respect you as the prophet of God. And he said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Tonight, have you performed the commandments of the Lord in your life? Are we doing the things that we know to do? Now, I know there are some things, probably you, some of you might have some questions about some things and say, I'm really not sure what the Lord wants me to do here. Do you know in God's time, He will answer those questions for you? In His time, He will show you if it's important enough for you to make some changes. But the question is tonight, are we doing the things that we do know what God wants us to do? The things that God has talked to you about in the past, have you been obedient and diligent to do the things that you know God has called for? And this is very personal tonight, all right? It's not for me to look at anybody else. It's for me to examine my own life. Have we been diligent? The things that you know God has shown you, what are we doing with those things tonight? And so Saul responded, and he said, I respect you, O thee of the Lord. But he said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. That sounds like someone that was in obedience, doesn't it? Do you know tonight that we can come to worship services, and we are so thankful that we have this opportunity. We can be faithful in our services. We can be faithful to do certain things in our life that are good and profitable. But sometimes if we're not careful, we will hide behind the blanket of a profession. I'm part of the Church of God. And if I'm part of the body of Christ, hence whatever I do is okay because I'm part of the body of Christ. Now that's kind of reverse thinking, isn't it? But you know, that's what a lot of people say. They say, well, I'm a Christian, and Christians are to love everybody, and hence, the way that I'm treating them, it may not be good, but I'm a Christian, so I must have love, so I guess I love them. But their actions are not portraying that love. It's something, someone is in denial, and their actions are not measured up to their profession. So what do we profess tonight? How are our actions measuring our profession? He said, I've kept the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said then, and I know most of you could probably quote this, but he said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? You just said, I kept the commandment of the Lord. I did what he said. And the prophets like then, wait a minute. Why do I hear the sheep bleating? Why is it that so many people in our world today are professing to be serving the Lord and following Him, and yet their lives are not representative of what they're professing? What we say with our mouth tonight is not going to be what's going to gain us entrance into heaven. It's going to be the fruit of our life. It's going to be the way we're living. It's going to be based on the attitudes that we have. If we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, are we being obedient to the Word of God? So what is the bleating of the sheep? I remember years ago I had made a trip to a congregation, and it was in Ghana, I'll just tell you. And I got there and I walked around and there was a young woman, probably in her early 20s, and she saw me and it was like a deer in headlights. And she ran around the other side of the building. And I had known her since she was just a little girl. And I was glad to see her. But she didn't expect me to be there. And she went running around, and then later she came back, and you know, she looked a little different. She looked a little different. She'd taken off her jewelry, she changed as she came, and then she was ready to come and see me. And I noticed there were some others that did that too. I told them in the congregation, I said, do not change anything because I'm here. I said, it's not going to do any good with God. I said, you're going to live how you're going to live. And if you're going to make change in your life, do it for the right reason. But don't go do it because I'm here. You know, this morning, the tonight, that the Lord is wanting us to live lives of integrity. Live lives of integrity, open face before the Lord. Not living in a place that we're saying, oh, I'm living right, and yet we're really not. What goes on in the privacy of our homes, folks, needs to be equal, commensurate with the profession that we have of Jesus Christ. The way we conduct ourselves, the measure of grace, the attitudes that we have in our personal life, the things that we are doing when nobody else is around, the things that we are listening to, the places we are going, it is that the Lord is pleased in those times. It's not just an issue when we get around the saints. It's like, well, we're going to church today, so I got to go find my church clothes. Just, we're glad for you to come anyway. Come as you are, but let's not be in denial of who we really are. Because God knows where we are tonight. And the love of the Lord Jesus is what will lift us up from a state of sinfulness and from a state of hypocrisy, and it will lift us up and elevate us that we can start living and really be who we say we are.
Yes.
What is the bleeding of the sheep? And so Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekite. You notice he said they. Talk about denial. Now, he should have said the buck stops here. I'm king, I said I kept the commandments, but all of a sudden when he got called on the carpet, now they. Does that sound familiar? They. Well, he said here, and he didn't end there. He said, they have brought them from the Amalekites for the people spared. Now let's get the attention off of me. They kept the best of the sheep, of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. You know, yeah, we kept the commandments, mostly, but the part that we didn't, Lord, we're doing this for you. Have you ever heard people do that, say that? The Lord has called us to be separate, hasn't he? He's called us to live holy before the Lord. And I've heard people say, well, to reach the world, I want to kind of get down on their level to reach the world. If we reach the world with the things of the world, we have nothing to draw them to. But it is when we live a holy life that we can go out with the truth clothed in righteousness and draw the people and call them to a higher plane of living. And yet, people are trying to spiritualize their disobedience. They're trying to spiritualize the inconsistencies in their life. Well, we did this for you, Lord. That's denial. The reality is Saul should have just said, you know what, you're right, we didn't obey the Lord. I believe that God, he would have found a place of forgiveness. But instead, he kept pushing and promoting this idea that I'm okay. This is what they did now. Well, he justified his behavior. He excused his behavior. And then we find in verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I'm not giving in. You put me on the spot now. I've obeyed. Who are you to tell me I haven't obeyed? Have you ever? I'm not going to personalize it that close. It's easier to say some people, right? The preacher's preaching, and things get brought out, and all of a sudden, we start diverting. We don't want to listen now. We start getting uncomfortable because if people say, well, you kind of stepped on my toes. Well, thank God. That'll get us moving a little bit sometimes. Someone steps on your toes, the Lord does want us to move. But it's very easy sometimes to say, well, they really needed that. Or I hope they get their portion. I want my portion tonight. I want my portion. Saul began to divert again, and he said, yes, I've obeyed the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord has sent me. And then verse 21, he doubled down. But the people took of the spoil. The people. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice unto the Lord God. And in verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what?
Sacrifice.
Obedience. Tonight, if there is any question that you have in your life of what to do, you can mark this down. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I've been given to the Lord. I've been sacrificing. I'm giving my time. I gave this up for the Lord. And I'm doing all this for the Lord. The Lord would rather you be obedient to His will than for any sacrifices you can make for the Lord. You can say, I pray, and I give, and I fast, and I've done this for my neighbor, and I've done this for my enemies. Those are good things. Don't stop doing them. But do you realize that the Lord would rather you be obedient to love and to forgive and to live in holiness and do the things that He teaches us to do? Rather, that's more important than any sacrifice you can make. The biggest check that you can write tonight means nothing if there's disobedience in your life. And sometimes we find this place of security in our sacrifices to God. Lord, I gave this up for you. Yes, Michael, you did. But why do I hear the bleating of the sheep? Are we going to accept and allow the Spirit of the Lord to deal with us? Or are we going to be in a place of denial like Saul was in this case? Well, in verse 26, we read the penalty. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. We're not going to gain victories tonight, spiritually. We're not going to gain victories in our marriages. Those of you that are married tonight, there's challenges in marriages. The enemy is working so hard to cause division and problems in homes. It's not just the world. Among good, godly, saved people, from newlyweds to people that have been married over 50 years, the enemy is hard at work. But if we want the victories and the blessings of marriage as God intended it, we cannot live in a place of denial in our personal actions, the way we talk, the way we live, the way we treat our companion. And we can't just cover it over and say, well, it's them. We have to be ready tonight in open face before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to take a hard look at myself. Lord, talk to me. Amen. Help me, Lord, to get my eyes on myself. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, in our marriages, in our homes, young people, children, your interactions with your parents, and you could say they just don't understand. What about your life? How have you been obedient? What has your attitudes been? How has your spirit been? How have you been conducting yourself in the home? Our victories are not gained by the Lord trying to work in everybody else's life. I learned a long time ago, I don't have the power to change anybody. I don't have the power to change anybody. But by the grace of God, when the Spirit of the Lord shows me needs in my life, and He does right along, the only avenue to gain victory is when I will acknowledge it. Say, Lord, that's me. But Lord, if you knew my wife, the Lord does know my wife. But he knows me too. Now I said that on me and not you. But it's true for you too. But so many are living in denial. The Lord wants there to be greater victories in our homes, folks. The Lord, there are too many people that are struggling, and part of the struggle is they're not willing to look at themselves and say, Lord, what about search me, oh God? Yes. Lord, if you would just search her, or search him, or search parents, search my children, or parent children, young people. Lord, if you just help my mom and dad. No, the Lord wants to work in your life. You want greater peace in your homes tonight. You want greater and closer relationships with your brothers and sisters and in the congregation. It's not going to come by saying, Lord, work on them. It's going to come saying, Lord, work on me. Yeah. I don't want to deny it. When there's a problem, Lord, it's easy to see their problem. But Lord, I want you to show me what I can do differently. Yeah. It's kind of like the man that was on the train. The story's told me from years. The man on the train, and he came into the depot. And he hollered out to the people, out the townspeople. He said, how are the neighbors here in this town? He was looking at moving somewhere, and they said, they're the same kind of neighbors you had in the town you came from. In other words, he was looking for something different, and oftentimes, the problem's not everybody else. The problems are going to start with us, because our soul is in our own hand tonight. It was a sad thing when Samuel said, I'm not going to come back. You're living in denial, and God cannot work where we deny the power of His Spirit to reveal and for us to begin to accept it. That's me. You know, that's where in Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the things that they teach them is to acknowledge who and what you are. Now, I believe there's a greater grace than Alcoholics Anonymous, that I wouldn't have to stand up tonight and say, I am an alcoholic. I can say, I was. I was a sinner. Those songs that say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I can't sing that song, thank God. I was a sinner, but the power of God lifted me from that, and I'm not a sinner anymore. But to get victory, you have to recognize, I'm a sinner. It's just like backsliding. Backsliding is really out of style, isn't it? It's really out of style today. How many people have you known that said, yes, I backslid? No, people don't backslide anymore. They just don't see it the same way as they used to. I'm just living a different way than I used to. And I just don't do that, but I'm not a backslider. If you are not living according to the life that you have one time had, you are a backslider. And there is a sliding scale. There is a place that you can backslide and maybe not have yet lost your soul, but you continue down that road, somewhere you're going to lose your soul. The Lord doesn't want us to be a backslider, but the only way that we can prevent that is by being open to the Lord and not living in denial. So, I was shocked. I shouldn't have been shocked, but a few years ago, I don't know if Renee and I were in the store or something, and all of a sudden we were talking and realized that clothing companies, some of them, had changed their sizes. What would y'all think if you asked me, said, Brother Michael, what size of shirt do you wear? And I said, small. Do you know clothing companies have changed, some of them? Because people don't want to acknowledge, yeah, I'm large. You didn't know I were large. Mediums don't work. But if they want to make me feel better, and this is what they've done, they have changed their sizes. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know if they started to do that on the number dimensions or not. Well, that's going to be really getting too far. But they've done that with some of their sizes because people are in denial. I want you to feel good, and so we're going to change the facts. We're going to change the facts so you'll feel better about yourself. Folks, that's what religion is doing today. Yes. We want you to come. I would the tent be filled up and overflowing tonight. But it's going to be the gospel that elevates people. And if we're just here to pat you on the head and say we're all going to make it to heaven and go home and live however you want to live, it's not going to work. Because one day we're going to stand before God and we will give an account of how we've lived. And I would much rather face myself in this life and have time and opportunity to do business with God than to stand before the judgment and, Lord, say, Michael, you lived in denial. I talked to you. I showed you your need. And you kept saying, that's not me. I'm not that way. It's everybody else. Folks, if we want victory spiritually, personally, in our homes, in our relationships, it's going to take being open. Lord, help us. Denial is something we do so often to protect ourselves. Wasn't that what Peter did when he was following the Lord afar off and someone asked him, they said, well, aren't you with him? Aren't you with Jesus? What was the instinctive response? No, I'm not with him. You know, I can almost understand that the first time, can't you? He should have caught himself and said, you know what? I am with him. I am with him. But he did it three times. Are there any areas tonight that we have been in denial about ourselves? In our attitudes? In how we've been conducting ourselves? In how we've been living? There are defense mechanisms that people that are in denial, they really develop a lot of defense mechanisms. And I want to share with you, by the help of the Lord, just a few of them. Not all of them. There's a lot of defense mechanisms people develop. But one of the things about defense mechanisms is it is a way of coping with reality to try to make ourselves feel better. Okay, because if we address the situation head on, it makes me uncomfortable, it shows needs in my life, and so then I develop these defense mechanisms as a way of coping so I don't feel so badly or look so bad. We can do that spiritually. Because, you know, most of us here tonight, we've got the lingo down, don't we? I mean, we know how to try to sanctify words. The Lord is more interested in sanctifying our actions. He's interested in sanctifying the heart. And we can play word games with ourselves. Have you ever found yourself doing that? Start kind of playing spiritual word games to make it sound like it was better, but you knew all along there was something that wasn't right. Am I the only one that's done that before? All right, my sister too. It must run in the family. But you know, I think probably that all of us, at times you can start rationalizing. We'll get there. All right. Simple denial. Saul? What do I hear? The fleet bleeding? I didn't do that. No. It's not me. Lord comes along and says, you know what? Have you ever noticed there? Sometimes we talk about gossip, right? Now, I might have shared this before because it was in a meeting in Shawnee at the old chapel years ago, and I've always wondered how this sister is doing. I said, there are people who gossip, but I've never yet met someone that says, I'm a gossip. And a sister stood up in the back and said, I'm a gossip. Thank God for someone that was willing to acknowledge that she was a gossip. And she doesn't live here now. So, I wonder, do you realize that was the first stepping stone to victory over gossip? It was acknowledgement. I'm an alcoholic. I'm acknowledging. But too many times there's just a flat out denial. That's not me. That's not me. Another coping mechanism, part of denial, is minimizing a problem. Something comes up and we might admit to it, but we deny its seriousness. As it relates to alcohol, just as an illustrative purposes. Say, well, I drink, but I don't drink too much. You know, it's no big deal. I'm just not as bad as some people, and I try to minimize the problem. Saints, when the Holy Spirit reveals needs to us, we need to do business with God. Yes. Let's not minimize it and say, well, it's not that bad. I mean, it could be worse. We kind of chuckle at the children in the congregation when they get hurt. And I appreciate their testimonies. They say, well, I was on my bike and I fell off and I scraped my arm up. But I'm thankful it's not as bad as it could have been. It's not as bad as it could have been. Do you know that we can do that spiritually and minimize the needs that are in our life? That is a defense mechanism, and it's part of denial. Minimizing the problem. Rationalization is another defense mechanism. Making excuses or justifying our actions. You're going to rationalize it. I just drink to relax socially. In other words, we give a reason for why we are doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you know the Lord is not as interested in our reasons tonight as He's interested in working at the root cause in our soul that we can say, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, I have an attitude, but Lord, I have a reason. You know what they did, and I could have responded a whole lot worse. You better just be glad I'm saved. Well, the Lord wants to deal with that part of the flesh, that attitude that I begin to rationalize why I'm acting like I'm acting. Married couples, don't rationalize your attitude in your home. Don't justify. Don't excuse impatience. Don't excuse a lack of honoring one another. It takes being open, saying, you know what? Yes, that this is me. Now, Lord, I've acknowledged it. I need some help. You know the Lord can work with us when we do that. But as long as we deny it, we tie God's hands. We tie His hands when we refuse to acknowledge the needs in our life. Normalizing it. Another coping mechanism. Normalization. Well, everybody does it. How many parents have heard their young people say that? Please don't raise your hand right now. Everybody does it. Young folks, I want you to know something. When everybody does it, you better just probably know it's not the best thing to do. Because everybody, Jesus said that the way to heaven is a narrow way. So if everybody's doing it, I want to kind of look at that thing twice now. And I want to be sure. But people try to normalize it. Things that God has dealt with us about, and this is getting personal. And I'm not going to list out all the things. That's between you and God. But when the Holy Spirit deals with you about something and you start your instinctive responses, but everybody else is doing it. In other words, it's normal behavior. So it's okay for me. It's not okay because the Lord's trying to get us ready for heaven, folks. The Lord loves us tonight. He's not here. The Lord is not here with His sword raised and just ready to cut us off at every little mistake. The Lord's here to want to elevate us and lift us up and encourage us and help us to be what He wants us to be. Amen. But we're going to have to be willing to say, Lord, this is me. I don't want to live in denial. Yes, that's Michael, Lord. And got up and looked in the mirror, and yes, I was still there. But Lord, You know where I am, and I want You to work in my life. The Lord loves us tonight. But let's not normalize things and say, well, I'm better than most people. I'm not as bad as they are. What does that have to do with it? The Scripture says it is not wise to what? Compare yourself among yourselves. It's not wise. This isn't about, well, I can just look a little bit holier than they are. So I can come to church and just look around. Well, I'm just a little bit, I'm buttoned up a little tighter than they are. I've got things a little longer than they are, and so I'm okay. No, that has nothing to do with it. It is not wise tonight for us to be motivated by what everybody else is doing, even in the congregation. The Lord wants you to get in contact with Him, and when the Spirit of the Lord reveals something to you, just be open and say, yes, Lord, that's me. What would You have me to do, Lord? Don't want to live in denial. Well, projecting or blaming is another coping mechanism. Part of being in denial is projecting or blaming someone else. That's what Saul did. Well, the people. You admit the seriousness of the reality, but blame someone else for it. I remember, and my sister, I didn't know she was going to be here. But when we were children, my father tried to curtail that coping mechanism. Said, now, and I'll just use us for an example. If he's, which side should I put us on? If he came along and said, Michael, You weren't supposed to do that. But Julie, no, I'm not talking to Julie. I'm talking to you. Yes, but Julie, I'm not talking to Julie. Why did you do that? Do you realize that the Lord many times, or we have this denial because what we do is we want to project or blame someone else for what, and the Lord's wanting to do business with us. How many times have you heard people say, well, the church did such and such, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, who are you talking about? The church? That's a pretty big, that's a lot of people that have done that to you, and normally it's one or two people. And I've seen people walk away from sweet fellowship with God's people because they say, the church did such and such, and the Lord would have really rather us just say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Without blaming someone else. What about marriages? Well, if you would have done what you should have done, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Brothers and sisters, husbands, wives. If they would have done what they should have been done, then I wouldn't have responded that way. So where's the responsibility lie? Brethren, the scripture says that we are the head of the home. You know what that means? I'll share just a little bit what it means. It means we should be the first ones to humble our heart. Be the head. Well, but she's the one. No. Don't project or blame. You look at you. I had a situation at one point with a family member. And 95-99% of something they had done was wrong, okay? It wasn't right in how they had thought about something, and I knew what the facts were because I was the one that had done something, but it was, they had misconstrued it, and they had taken away that there was absolutely nothing to it. And yet, when I was in a discussion about it, I got a little bit to exercise. Now, that sounds like a sanctified term, doesn't it? I did not say something unbecoming, okay? Understand. But I just got a little bit too, I was a little bit too agitated. And you know what the Lord had me do? Go back to the one where most of the blame lay and said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have handled that like that. Will you forgive me? Because I'm going to have to do business with God. I have to stand before the Lord. And too many times what happens in people's relationships is they're saying, but they did, like it justifies what we do. And the Lord's interested in us tonight making it to heaven. He's interested in us manifesting the love that you're saying about Brother Tom. The Lord's interested in us manifesting that true love and compassion and gentleness and humility. And that means that there is nothing, I want to say about marriage now, and about relationships on your jobs and in the congregation, there is nothing that justifies us acting or talking with impatience and a lack of gentleness and a lack of humility. It doesn't matter how badly someone has behaved. God has called us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And if I get too harsh or too impatient, I have a responsibility to come back and say, Lord, that was me, and humble my heart to the people that I spoke to like that. Folks, this is where we gain our victories. It doesn't mean that we're going to leave here tonight and never have those places again. I heard of a minister, thank God it wasn't among us, but I heard of a minister claiming to be a Church God minister, been married 10 years, and he said, I've never one time had to apologize to my wife. I'll tell you, that did not bespeak of his spirituality. To me, it spoke of his pride and arrogance. Yeah. Because if you live with someone day in and day out for 10 years and never have had to apologize, you're too proud, because I know your wife's been putting up with some things. Which means that as children of God, it doesn't mean we're always going to be at the height there, but when we fall short, let's not deny it. Because this is how we can grow in love. It's how we can grow in gentleness. Is by saying, yes, that's me. Doesn't matter what they did. Nothing justifies living below what the Bible teaches. So Lord, help us. Time's getting away from us tonight. diversion, change the subject, another coping mechanism. Spirit of the Lord comes along and you want to just kind of divert. Let's change the subject. That makes me uncomfortable. Marriages, change the subject. Don't acknowledge. That's a coping mechanism. I want to tell you, walls can be built up in marriages. And another coping mechanism is avoidance. It's going into the post office, and I've noticed it for the last year. Walk into the post office, and there's double doors. There's plenty of room for more than just me to get through there. And you come along, and you start doing this dance, and everybody's doing this because they're avoiding. They can't even walk by each other. Have y'all noticed that? Going to Walmart, and everybody's like, go ahead. And it's like there's plenty of room for us to walk by each other. But it's like we're avoiding each other. Do you know that that doesn't work very well in marriage?
That's true.
Doesn't work very well. We're just going to avoid it. And like I'm more spiritual because I won't talk about it. I want to, let's not deny something here, okay? Just because you're not willing to address something doesn't make you more spiritual than the ones that want to sit down and talk about it. It depends on how you talk about it. But what happens is, and it doesn't mean that you need to address everything that always happens in a marriage. But if you can't let it go, you need to get some victories. Because what happens is, you get these walls start building up. Yes. And you say, well, I don't want to deal with it. You cannot deal with it, but it's going to be a barrier in your marriage until you're able to begin to look at yourself and say, what can I do? Well, I don't think what my wife said was accurate. Brethren, how many of you thought your wife said something that just wasn't quite along with the facts? Okay, you're all afraid to say it. I said it, and I'm going home with her tonight. There are times you say, well, that's just not really, you know, accurately aligned. You know, we like to cross T's and dot I's and have things factual. And they're thinking, but that's not how I felt. What did feelings have to do with it? Well, the scripture says to the husbands to dwell with them according to knowledge. So maybe it didn't seem like it was accurate what my wife said, but what was it that made her feel that way to start with? What was it that I did that made my wife feel badly about something? Rather than deny it, rather than displace it, Lord help me to say, Lord help me, what can I do to show my wife the love and the respect and sacrificing of myself, even when I don't understand, that she can be feel secure and loved and whole? Amen. Lord help, because this is where the enemy is working in homes. Because as goes the home, Brother Edmondson, I know he's gone on now. He used to say this frequently here in this congregation years ago. As, y'all know what he said? All right, as goes the home, so goes the church. I remember he said that 25 years ago. As goes the home. So that means, Lord, when it comes to me personally, spiritually, when it comes to my home, Lord, help me not to live in denial, but help me to be open before the Lord. Passivity, another coping mechanism, just ignoring something. And I've tried it and I just can't do it. And so you almost, it's a form of denial, is there's nothing can be done about it. Folks, when the Lord calls us to do something, there is grace for us to grow, okay? There's grace. That's why we grow in grace. That's why the scripture talks about perfecting holiness. It doesn't mean we need to be condemned tonight because maybe I see areas I've fallen short. But the avenue to victory tonight is being willing to acknowledge that, Lord, I do have that need in my life. That's who I am, Lord. And I don't want to be like that, Lord. So would you help me? Lord, would you sanctify that area in my life? And you know, next week I may maybe miss the mark just a little bit, but I'm going to be quick to acknowledge, you know what, I'm still working on it. I'm still growing, Lord. I don't want to start covering and excusing and displacing and rationalizing all these things, but Lord, help me. Because I want to be in the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I don't want to be just a hearer of the word then. We want to be a doer. So if we come and we look in that glass, as the book of James says, we look in that mirror and we see ourselves, and so quickly we forget what manner of man we are. Lord, help us to be open tonight and in the days and weeks and years to come, that we would be a people that would never just fall back on our profession, but that we would say, Lord, I want you to work and move in my life. Some of you may remember, and I don't know if she's still a big name or not, but Cindy Crawford was years ago. She was a big super. She was a supermodel. And I remember hearing, and I actually looked it up because I wanted to get this right. This is what she said about herself. She said, even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford without 3 hours of makeup and hair. And then she also made this comment, even I don't wake up looking like Cindy Crawford. You get it? She was covering something up. Where is the real Cindy Crawford? Where is the real saint of God? See, that means what's behind the mask. This is getting behind the persona of us coming together and singing and praying, and that's wonderful. But how is your life when you go home? How is it when you go on vacation? How are you living when you get off there by yourself? And as we talked about last night, well, here's a phone right here. How are things going? Let's not be in denial tonight. But let's say, Lord, I don't want to cover up anymore. You remember when David had Uriah killed when he committed adultery with Bathsheba? Remember that story? He committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, put in a place in battle that he died. And the prophet came. Again, Nathan came to David and he told him the story about the man, the rich man that killed the poor man's sheep. And David was incensed. Why would somebody do that? You let me know and we're going to call for justice. And Nathan said, thou art the man. That's you I'm talking about. And David acknowledged then, that was me. Who are you tonight? The children of Israel. There's another scripture in Isaiah, and we'll be done here shortly. In Isaiah chapter 28, in the 15th verse, it says, for we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. That's Isaiah 28, the second part of the 15th verse. We made lies our refuge. You know, I don't believe tonight that most of us are interested in lies and living under that. However, I do believe sometimes that there is too much justifying and blaming and excusing in our personal walk with God, in things we've allowed in our lives, in our attitudes, in our conduct, and then you bring all of that into the home. Relationships, parents, with children and children with parents. It comes into the congregation. Do you know tonight that there is victory when we can acknowledge, Lord, this is who I am. In the days of royalty, hundreds of years ago in England, kings and queens would often commission, just like they do still today, they would commission artists to come in and paint them, okay? And artists would never include the blemishes of the one that they were painting. All right? They would make them, they always made the king and the queen look better than what they were. In other words, they were living a life in denial about what they looked like. Queen Elizabeth I, 1562, she was known for, and I looked at pictures and I don't know where they got the word beauty, but anyway, apparently at the time, it was equated that she was a beautiful queen, a beautiful woman, okay? And she got smallpox when she was 29 years old, I believe it was. She got smallpox, and her face was very, very badly disfigured. It just left her face red. And so she covered it up with, Renee, do you remember how thick? It was a thick layer. She got something and covered her face with, and it was, come to find out, it was made out of vinegar and lead. She made some concoction in a thick layer. You know, eventually she died. You know what she died of? It was lead poisoning. She died of lead poisoning. It's not worth it tonight to cover up. If there's sin in your life tonight, there's a place of victory for you. There's no need to cover it up. But when we come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is in my life, and I don't want it there anymore. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to quit blaming everybody. I'm going to quit blaming the church. Quit blaming the preacher. Quit blaming my husband, my wife. Quit blaming my parents. Lord, this is who I am. And I know it's not what you want me to be. And I'm sorry, Lord. Do you know that is where victory begins? But it's not just for the sinner. Saints, this is the key to victory for us on a daily basis. If we want to grow in Christ. Remember the church at Laodicea? They said, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Is that any of us here tonight? And the Lord looked on them and said, you know what? You are naked and wretched and blind. You're in denial. There's nothing wrong with having needs tonight because we all have them. We all have them. It's okay. But what are we doing with the needs in our life? Are we acknowledging and saying, Lord, I want to grow here. And I don't want to justify it anymore. He that covereth his sins, and if you will give me a little liberty tonight as we close, he that covereth his weaknesses, he that covereth his needs shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them will have mercy. Are we ready tonight to do business with me? Leave everybody else out of it. But Lord, I want you to work in my life. I don't want to live in denial. There is a place of victory and growth for us saints. That's called revival. When we move from where we are and draw closer to the Lord. And that is what God is inviting us to tonight.